It was like Sly and the Family Stone and James Brown and Earth, Wind & Fire and, you know, among other things. And then the jazz world was really funky too. You know, Herbie Hancock and Miles Davis and, you know, all that stuff was going on. So it was a pretty fertile time.
What happened to jazz? Because at that time it was kind of funky and kind of cool, and it just got kind of academic, got kind of boring.
I think they stopped writing good songs.
Really?
Yeah. I think there was a point where it became so much about how fast and furious you could play that cats stopped. They stopped like writing good records, you know, like back in the day you got a record, you got a Miles Davis record, you got a Herbie Hancock record, and it was full of these beautiful songs. I think that kind of died a little bit with the, it went from really good fusion to like the a lot of parts to just great players playing bad songs. And then when it came back around to playing like kind of straight ahead, like Wynton Marsalis and Branford Marsalis and those guys, it was just a little bit too focused on old songs, you know. I think it wasn't focused enough on, you know, writing new songs in a way that was forward thinking. So you ended up, you know, you go to a jazz festival and it was either you're listening to, you know, Take the A Train, or you were listening to Kenny G.
Let me ask you this. Was Grey Boy or Tiny Universe, was that sort of a reaction to, I don't want to be like that. This has got to be fun. This has got to be funky and soulful and cool.
Yeah, definitely. And it was a reaction to the fact that kids actually started dancing to old jazz records.
Mm.
You know? The hip-hop artists were sampling, you know, they ran out of rock records and funk records to sample, so they started sampling jazz records.
I bought a big hand now.
Wait a minute.
Groovy, groovy, jazzy, funky, pounce, bounce, dance as we dip in the melodic sea. Rhythm keeps flowing and drips to MC. Sweet sugar pop, rocks and pop. You don't stop till the sweet beat drops. I shall improve as I stick and move. Vivid poems recited on top of the groove.
So there was a kind of a movement in there where we had an opportunity, and we were kind of right in the right time in the States, where all of a sudden we could play a Horace Silver tune in a rock club, and people didn't know what it was. They just thought, wow, that's cool, because it's, you know, the whole Boogaloo thing is that's what it's about. It's kind of based on that early mid '60s jazz movement.
You're a saxophonist, and I understand you play other instruments as well, but saxophone has been your main instrument. You mentioned Boogaloo. I mean, was someone like Lou Donaldson really in your wheelhouse back then?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Lou Donaldson, Sonny Stitt, Wayne Shorter, Lee Morgan. And then, you know, you move right from Boogaloo to James Brown. There's like a bridge right there, you know, from Boogaloo jazz to James Brown. There's like not that far of a stretch. So it was kind of a style that we liked. And so we kind of, you know, that's where we went, and we were having fun playing it, because we'd be playing rock clubs, you know, with 1,000 kids in there and playing our versions of that or our take on it, and people are dancing. So, you know, I'd look around every night and go, man, we're getting away with murder here.
Well, you mentioned your take on things, and I want to go to your album from a couple of years ago called New Ammo. And one of the really cool takes that I liked on here was the Seven Nation Army song that you covered the White Stripes on here. This is so freaking cool. Why? Well, first of all, what's the album about? Is there a theme through the entire album, and why Seven Nation Army?
The only theme on that record was big horns and big arrangements. So, you know, that was kind of where we were going right then. So there's a lot of added horns, and there's some really, you know, there's some crazy tunes on that record as far as arrangement goes. So we were kind of trying to make a modern soundtrack of the sort.
Mm-hmm. Well, another cool song on here was Is My Baby. You've got a Bo Diddley shuffle going on, at least at the beginning of the thing. Were you a blues guy as well? Were you digging into blues, or was it more soul and R&B when you were growing up?
When I was growing up, I didn't really get the blues at all.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm old enough now where I've had chances to redeem myself, and I've been a blues guy for, you know, the last 20 years.
So it didn't really talk to you back then?
No, because I was a jazz guy, you know? It was like, I didn't have time to listen to guys play one, two chords. I wanted to hear 8 and 10.
Sure.
You know, but then I was always a John Lee Hooker fan, and then you know, maybe 20 years ago I watched a Howlin' Wolf documentary and got my mind blown, and that was the beginning of that. And then, and that riff there was actually my first guitar riff. That's my first.
Which riff is this?
The on My Baby.
Oh, really?
I started playing guitar and like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And that was my first song I wrote on guitar.
Well, why did you pick up the guitar?
Because saxophone's lonely.
You mean you can't sing along with it, you mean?
Exactly. You can't talk. You can't do anything.
Okay.
So I was on a rock and roll cruise, and I was watching everybody, and I thought, I'm going to learn how to play guitar.
How long did it take you?
Well, I still can't really play it, but like for anybody to hang out and hear me. But, you know, it took a good solid year for me to get where I was, you know, I can get around it and I can learn new songs and things like that.
Can I ask you about the Rolling Stones gig?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, how is this a recent thing? Or you been playing with the Rolling Stones for a while?
A couple of years now, going on 3.
I mean, you play in front of decent-sized audiences, but boy, to play in with the Rolling Stones in front of those audiences, what was that like for you?
You mean, what is it like? It's still the same.
Yeah, okay, what is it like for you?
You know, it's just surreal, you know? And people ask about the big audiences, and it's not even that. It's those four guys on stage. That's really what's going on. The audience is not is nothing. It's standing there and having Mick Jagger running back and forth, or Keith and Ronnie coming over and hanging out with you while you play a solo or something. It's really surreal.
Carl Denson, it's so great to talk to you. Congratulations on an upcoming album. Looking forward to seeing you in Chicago. And continued luck with Tiny Universe and with Grey Boy All-Stars.
Thank you so much.